Welcome back to the show, and thank you for joining us for another chapter of Sama Scribe. It's going to be good. In today's chapter, it's a suspense tale about a woman named Rachel. We'll begin the story at the end of her shift. Like nights before, it had been a long one. And just like nights before, she was the last to leave, and alone in the office. Or so she thinks.
Rachel was just finishing her day. Her last report was done, and it was time to head home. She looked around and gave the place the last look. She glanced at her watch. After 10, the kids had already had dinner, or whatever their father considered to be dinner. Something like leasing spaghetti and hot dogs. Poor thing. This would be the third day this week she had to work late. Hopefully, this wouldn't go on too much longer. She and her husband had discussed it before, and this was not the life they'd pictured. She had two beautiful daughters and hated being away from them this much. She would say something tomorrow, that's for sure. She shut down her workstation and made her way to the elevators. She was still mentally preparing herself for tomorrow's argument, so when the doors finally parted open, she nearly ran into the man in the elevator. "Oh, I'm so sorry," she said, laughing, feeling embarrassed. The man, dressed in a tan and black uniform, shook his head. "Ah, no harm, no foul, ma'am. Going down?" He lifted his hand to push the button. "Yes, ground floor, please." As the doors closed, Rachel pulled her phone out of her purse. She knew her husband wouldn't go to bed until she made it home, and she loved his protective nature. However, he had to get up early, so she hoped that at least for once, she could convince him just to turn in already. She sent a few texts saying that she'd be home soon. "Long day," the man said. Rachel, who felt a little startled, gave out a mild smile. "I wish it was still a day." They both chuckled as they were passing more levels down. "I bet you're the hardest worker here, I know it for sure," Rachel said to the security guard, but checking the uniform badge, which turned out to be an empty gap with no name. She felt a little guilty about not remembering his name right away. So with a best guess, she added, "Thank you. Jim?" "Nice try. It's John." "I am so sorry, I'm terrible with names." "Oh, I doubt that, but hey, I'm just a security guard. Nobody important, right?" he said with a smile. Now she really felt terrible. She never meant to imply that she looked down on him or his job. "No, I didn't mean that. I'm just absent-minded after work. Usually I switch to mum brain during this time, so I'm totally useless to other adults. And I think you have a very important job, keeping all of us safe." Leaning on the wall with his arms folded, the man stared at the phone still cradled in her hand. "Yeah, safety's kind of my thing. So, Rachel, who are you texting?" Rachel's heartbeat skipped from its usual rhythm. "How did you know my name?" "Oh, why, I can't learn a name. You almost remembered mine, so it's fair that I can know yours. Not that it's all that impressive to know a name." Of course he knows her name. It's practically in his job description to be so aware of who comes in and out of the building. She relaxed her shoulders and the rest of her body. She felt embarrassed that she was being cautious at all. Yet there was still something not quite right. "You're very observant, John." "You have no idea. But hey, you never told me who you were texting." "Oh, I was just messaging my husband." "Ah, what a lucky man he is." His eyes lingered. His smile turned into something else. The off-and-on nagging feeling grew into a pit in Rachel's stomach. "Oh, thank you," she managed to put on a half-decent smile. But there was nothing but pure terror behind that smile. She had to be misreading the situation. She glanced upward to the numbers as they counted down. There were still a few levels left to her destination. She looked at the door and decided that as soon as they opened, she would sprint to the car, forget the pleasantries. He must have picked up on her intentions, as he moved from his corner and stood directly in front of the elevator doors, blocking any escape. "You know, you could be a little nicer to me. I did pay you a compliment, after all. It's not like I'm being unreasonable or anything. I'm just having a polite conversation. There's a lot of women who'd feel flattered. The humble ones would even be grateful. I'm sure your husband..." "He's downstairs," she said, cutting him off before he could finish. With a raised eyebrow, John looked at the phone again. "Oh, really? He's downstairs. You mean right now?" She swallowed hard. Why did she lie? She couldn't possibly prove this, despite the fact that more than anything, she wished it was true. She studied his expression, trying to figure out if he'd bought it. It was now her only concern. Unfortunately, while she studied him, he must have been doing the same. Eventually, his look of concern seemed to soften. Well, in the case I meet him, I'm sure we'll get along great. She tried to hide it, but at that moment, pure terror etched along her face. It was something he took notice of. Her ploy had failed and he'd called her bluff. And now he was smiling? Mentally, she looked at the scene she was in. It was night, she was nearly alone in a very large building. Her only companion could very well be her assailant. They were alone on an elevator, with one way in and out, and he blocked the door. Maybe if she... But she pushed the thought down the line of desperate decisions. In what world could she overcome him? The man was at least twice her size. No, she couldn't afford to think that way. Please, God, please. For a brief moment, she felt peace, then chaos again. She looked at John, still smiling, and then above him at the descending floors. They were now 3 levels from the ground floor. She had seconds at best. It would need to be enough. She shut her eyes to the darkness and entered into the light. God, I know you can hear me, even when my lips don't move. I know my thoughts are an open book to you. Thank you for my life. Please, if it be thou will, let me keep it. I don't know what this man or my enemy has planned for me, but I know nothing can happen to me without you allowing it. I want to go home to my husband and my beautiful little girls. I want to be safe. I want to live. So please, Lord, protect me and let your will be done. Ding! The chime of the elevator greeted her as she opened her eyes. The grin and smile of a security guard also awaited her. Well, here we are, he said as he stepped off the elevator, motioning her to follow. Let's not keep your husband waiting. She stepped forward on command when in a moment a plan unfolded. She was confused at first, but decided to have a little faith. She smiled. Will you be walking me to my car? He looked stunned by the apparent change in her behaviour. Why not? Of course. Thank you. To his great surprise, she followed closely behind. He was so pleased with himself that he didn't realise that her steps grew slower. The distance got wider, and she took several steps back. He decided not to push his luck. Well, this has been fun and all, but I think I'll just... But he was too late. By the time he had turned around, Rachel was back on the elevator with the doors closing. No! He made a hard run for the door, but only met with cold metal. Inside, Rachel watched the numbers ascend. She decided to exit onto the 8th floor. First she wondered why the 8th, but then understood that she didn't actually have time to question it. Within a few moments, the doors opened again. Before she exited, she paused and reached back inside to press the top floor. After the doors closed and she watched the elevator ascend, she thought it was a good time to call the police. Wait, she heard, but from within herself. Why wait? This was the perfect time, she thought. But the action remained firm. Not only that, but she felt compelled to hide. She hesitated, but found a nearby copy room to step into. She pulled out her phone just before the elevator started to move again. No, it couldn't be on its way back. It was already the second one coming up. It was John. He'd found her. He erupted from the elevator in almost a sprint. From where she hid, Rachel could still see him. Why did she pick this small room to hide in? If he looked around, even a little, he would see her. She shuddered at the thought of what would happen then. Looking at him again, she could tell the act was over. She could make out his clenched fist as he stared at the ascending numbers above the doors. When the elevator stopped at the top floor she selected earlier, he went back into the elevator. She was being hunted. It was only because she stepped off at this floor that she knew where he would be. The top floor. She wouldn't be there, and she wondered how long it would take for him to figure that out. His next move would be without a doubt to come back to the 8th floor and search it. Move. She rushed to the elevator and then passed it. But why? Because he would see it move and know where she would be. The steps were not far. Call the police. She dialed without looking. Hello 911, what is the state of your emergency? I need help. I'm alone at my job and the security guard is hunting me. Please, I'm really scared. I think he's going to kill me. Ma'am, please remain calm. Where exactly are you? Descending down the stairs, Rachel tried to give the dispatcher as much of the information she could. When asked where she thought her chase would be right now, she scarcely said, the top floor. How long had he been up there anyway? By now he may have discovered that in fact she got off earlier and sent him to search an empty floor. There was hardly anything up there but a few offices and... She gasped at the realization that she was perhaps in more danger now than before. The top floor was where the security offices were, and he no doubt had access to that room. But it was what was in there that made her look upward. There, above her in the stairwell, was a camera. And that room on the top floor was the observation room. From there, you could see through every camera in the entire building. If he reached it? Then she heard a door open above, but she didn't have to guess who the figure was staring down at her. "Found you," said the voice, followed by pounding steps coming towards her. She would have smacked herself. She actually stood there practically waiting for him to reach her. Now she ran, her heart pounding in her chest, another flight down. How many more to go? Too many, she thought. She pushed herself to go on, but she could tell by John's footsteps that he was getting closer. Heels, stupid heels! With that thought, she kicked off the 1-inch heel shoes that slowed her down. Even that widened the gap enough. The pounding of his footsteps shook the stairwell, and what began as a sound of drumming from above now resembled thunder and earthquakes. But that would mean, yes, he was now jumping down the stairs, one big leap at a time. Whatever lead she had would be gone in moments. "There's a door coming up. Go through it." "But all the doors are locked except the ground floor. I can't," she started. "Trust me." She didn't want to look behind as he was close enough. She could hear his breathing. She wished she was braver than this. She wished she had more strength than this. She grabbed the door handle before she realized it was even there. If it was locked, then this would be the end. There wouldn't be any more second chances. She didn't know how long it took her to leave the stairwell behind or even cross the threshold of the door. All she knew was that she was on the other side, running. She ventured a glance backward, just in time to see John walk through the doorway. He was still there, but further back than she thought. She kept her pace, turning right and left, not sure where any of the hallways led. She'd never been up on this floor before, and was a little concerned that she'd set herself up for failure, if not her death. At the next turn, her fear became real. She stood in the dead end. No. How could she be this far ahead, John thought, if he followed the trail the woman left. He had her close so many times, she was an inch out of grasp, but never closer. He should have caught her in the elevator, should have known she would trick him and get off on the 8th floor but make him think she was going to the top. Of course, she wasn't that stupid, but it did allow for him to get his bearings. He got access to the security cameras and found her trying to get away on the steps. Again, he could have caught her there, but one of the doors was left open. How could she have known? There seemed to be some sort of movement on this floor, but he was positive they were alone. So all this would end soon. She wouldn't get away from him this time. He knew this floor, and both the stairs and the elevators were behind him. A mix of anger and excitement fueled his grin. He reached for his knife and flashlight. She won't be able to run this time. Some sound caught his attention. Was it something in the next room? That was the main conference room on this floor. It had no other way in or out than the one doorway he was approaching. He took a peek inside the darkened room and fixated his eyes on the silhouette figure in the middle. He knew it. She was trapped there with him. With all pretext gone, he strolled into the room. "Are you done playing games, Rachel? I should be mad, but..." The lights erupted and the entire room was illuminated. The door he just walked in slammed behind him. They were not alone as John thought they were. Far from it. The room was filled with people, none of which he knew, but they all surrounded him. Their faces were a mix of shock, anger and disgust. The man that shut the door from behind was a foot taller and with a ruddier face than anyone else present. The now terrified security guard looked for another exit before remembering that there was none. Then he thought of Rachel and feared of what she'd already told them. She stood next to one of the men with her arms wrapped around his. She stood firm. She wasn't afraid of John anymore. Who was the man whose arm she clung to? He recognized that look. It was a look that could kill. However, John glared right back into his eyes, almost daring. "Oh, wait, wait. I don't know what you're doing here or what lies that woman told you, but I'm only doing my job here and you are trespassing." Desperately, he brought the knife up from his side just in case he had to fight his way out. Seeing the knife, the man nodded and withdrew something from his hip. It was a gun. "Don't tempt me," was all he said. 15 minutes later, the police were reading John his Miranda warning. They were still making their way around to take statements, and they were going to give Rachel a few more minutes to get her calm. However, before any of that started, there were some things she wanted to get her head around. Her husband had just finished giving his account and was on his way over to her with a cup of tea in his hand. "I still don't understand how I'm still alive." Rachel accepted the tea and her husband sat beside her. "Well, what do you remember?" "I remember being afraid, not terrified. I knew I was going to die. But before I got off the elevator first, really before we ever stopped, I prayed. It was all I knew to do. And just before the doors opened, there was this plan that I know I didn't come up with. It was simple enough. All I had to do was first pretend he had my cooperation. That threw him for a loop, I think. Jump back on when he wasn't looking and go up a few floors, and trick him into going up further on his own. I made it to the stairwell and managed to call the police, but he found me in almost no time. He was so close. I ran and saw this door like I was led to open it. I couldn't believe it was open, but then I was trapped with him on the same floor. I thought I was going to die in that room, and then you were already there, hiding, and about 15 of our friends, including my brother. You were all there, waiting for me. Why? He sighed and moved his hand to cover hers. You are the best wife and an incredible mother, but you are so busy. Do you even remember what tonight is? For a moment she was confused, but when the date finally dawned on her, she cracked a smile. He brushed a strand of hair from her face before wishing her a happy birthday.
Okay, so if it wasn't obvious, Rachel's husband, friends, and family had entered the building in hopes of a surprise party for Rachel. That's why the door was open in the stairwell. It's not terribly important, but the big guy that slammed the door behind John was Rachel's brother. And you might have already guessed, the man that Rachel clung to and one with the gun was her husband. The last thing I wanted to explain was during the chase, Rachel knows where to go and when. And at times, there was a voice commanding her movements. That was meant to be an illustration of the Holy Spirit leading her. I wanted to show, even in a dangerous situation where the monster, in this case, John, plots and schemes against Rachel, there was still hope. There was still a plan laid out before her. All she needed was faith. Okay, I'm done. And that would do it for this scribe. Hope you enjoyed it. Until next time.